is telling us that in order to attain moksha, which is the highest state, mind has to stay in the Brahman. Mind has to stay in self. And when the mind is in the self, then doesn't matter where person is. If such a person is in yoga, then also he will enjoy. If he is in bhoga, then also he will enjoy. If he is amongst people, then also he will enjoy. And if he is by himself, then also he will enjoy. Because the mind is not disturbed by the changes. Mind is not disturbed by different things that the mind has been perceiving. That is a state of yoga samadhi. And if you're like that, then that is the best place to be. But to get to that place is very difficult. Say, okay, put your mind in Brahman. How do I put my mind in Brahman? Because it is very hard to even make the mind steady. Then to put that mind in Brahman, how is that possible? So, realizing that the task is very tall for a seeker, but that is the end goal. The next verse, which is this Bhagavad Gita Kinchid Adhita, is told so that we can use a practical steps, and taking these practical steps, we can attain that state of moksha. So then it is said, what is that practical step? Just little bit of Bhagavad Gita you study. Kinchit Adhita, just a little bit of Bhagavad Gita. And when you go to Gangaji, go to Rishikesh or go to Gangotri or you go to Ganga Sagar, whichever place you want to go, just a little bit of the drop of water you drink. Ganga Jala Lava Kanika Pita. Or Sakradapi Yena Murari Samarja. For once you worship Bhagwan. And if you do all this or one of this, Kriyate Tasya Yamena Na Charcha. Such a person does not have to speak to Yamraj at all. Yamraj will not call you, like how IRS calls you. You don't have to worry about such calls from Yamraj. Completely free. So, Bhagavad Gita we have studied many times. What does that mean? That you study just a little bit of Bhagavad Gita and you don't have to speak to Yamraj. So, at great length we saw last week that studying does not mean retaining the information. That chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita talks about Arjuna's Vishad. And chapter 2 talks about the philosophy of Advaita, which then converts into Karma Yoga, which then goes back into the Sthita Prajna Lakshana. Then chapter 3 talks about Karma Yoga. This is all retaining the information, useless junk. But when we studied chapter 1, and chapter 1 we connected with and said, this is my Vishada, this is my sorrow. I connect to Arjun and I feel what Arjun is going through, I also go through the same sorrow. When Bhagwan gives the message, I connect with that message that I understand what is this Atma, but I want to know more about this Atma. And Bhagwan says, do Karma Yoga. I trust Bhagwan that I should do Karma Yoga. When this approach is there in studying Bhagavad Gita, then we are doing Adhyayana. Adhyayana is to study oneself and study one's own behavior also at the same time. That is called Swa Adhyaya, Swadhyaya. one's own study. So through Bhagavad Gita, we are studying how our tendencies, our behaviors are, and how we make sure that they align with the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. If you can do that, then you will purify your mind. And if you purify your mind, then who is going to come? No Yamaraj will come. Because Bhagavan said, Manmana bhava, madbhakto bhava, madhyaji mam namaskur. And if you do that, I will protect you. And you don't have to worry. So, that is what Bhagavad Gita study means. Then, the next is, Ganga jalalava kanika pita. A droplet of Ganga jal, if you drink, then also you don't have to speak to Yamaraj. I'm sure many of us have gone to Gangaji, have taken a bath also. Can we say that I will never have a conversation with Yamaraj? It's hard. We cannot say. We still feel that I am sinner. The only way to feel, or only way that we can be blessed, is to feel blessed. But you can't just feel blessed by saying I am blessed. That mental purity has to be there. And when you take a dip in this Gangaji, it is supposed to purify all our sins. But if it were really true, then in India there would be no jail. There would be no prison. Because if it can purify the sinner, the first sentence that the Indian government would give is, take them and dip them in Gangaji. They will be purified and let them go home. So taking a dip or drinking just simply water cannot be the literal meaning here. There is greater meaning to this. First, we must understand what is this Gangaji. So Gangaji is said to have come down from the heavens. But as it came down, its journey is very fascinating. When it came down, it is, if you put it in a riddle, it is one water that you drink which has touched somebody's feet. Because when it came down, it touched the feet of Lord Vishnu. It was done as an abhisheka to Lord Vishnu. Touching the feet, then it came down to Lord Shiva, held it in his jata. Then from Lord Shiva's jata, it was drunk by Janhu Rishi. And then it flew out of his ears. And finally it came down. And all of this was a tap done by sage Bhagirath to bring Gangaji, because he was told that when Gangaji comes from the heaven to earth, then your ancestor, which had died in a war and whose ashes are lying on the ground, if they touch Gangaji, they will find salvation. They will find mukti. And they did. And that is why now, as a tradition happens, is that the asthi visarjan, the smearing of ashes, happens in Gangaji. Because it is considered that when they go and touch Gangaji, their soul is purified. This much capacity Gangaji holds. But what does that mean actually? And don't think that it is just a theory created by people so that we do. What it means is that when you smear the ashes, their afterlife, they go to Pitruloka, where they conduct their livelihood in a peaceful manner, instead of being thrown in a Preta Yoni, instead of becoming like a a spirit in an uncharted territory where you don't know where to go and where not to go, you're just stuck. Instead of being like that, they find an abode. So this is what the idea means. But that's not the point here. The point here is that this is who Gangaji is. And when we go to take a bath in Gangaji, our thinking is what? I just could take a dip and come out. But I've seen the monks when they go, they first touch the water and do namaskara to the water. And there is a Gayatri mantra that they say for Gangaji also. Bhagirathye cha vidmahe, Vishnu padye cha dhimahi, Tanno Ganga prachodayat. So, Bhagirathye cha vidmahe, the one who was invoked by Bhagirath, one who touched the feet of Vishnu, Vishnu padye, not patnye. Patnya becomes Lakshmiji, but here padye, one who touches the feet of Lord Vishnu, on that Ganga, I meditate. So thinking in this reverence, then they enter into the water. As soon as we see the water, we first see, how cold is it? We go and touch the water with our feet. Not with our hands, just touch with our feet. Oh, it is too cold, not going in. The height of human disrespect that we do. We say, no, don't touch things with your feet. But then here we go and touch. And we don't even think about it. This is the level of reverence that the sadhus and the masters have for Gangaji. Our Param Gurudev, Swami Tapovan Maharaj, had such reverence for Gangaji. So, when we say that drink just a drop of Gangaji, hear what we are saying, or what Adi Shankaracharya ji is pointing out is, bring that level of purity within us. When we bring that purity in our mental efforts, when in our mental endeavors in this world, then that purity will free us from the bondage. So, the idea here is that when we are drinking the purity, not drinking just the mere water. Otherwise, you can drink any water. But here, as we are drinking this, or as we are remembering Gangaji, we are remembering that I need to be as pure as Gangaji. One who can purify anybody's sin, I need to take that responsibility on me to remove that viciousness of my mind. This is how we move forward. And then, sakradapi yena murari samarja. Even for once, one has worshipped Bhagwan. We have worshipped many times, but yet we cannot say that all of those worship amounts to me not speaking to Yamaraj. Here says one, but how? Samarcha, samyak archa, in a well manner worship. What is a well manner worship? Where in our worship, Bhagwan should feel like this is a devotee. This is who I consider as somebody with prayer. You probably know about the story of Kanakadas, who went to Udupi. There's a temple, Krishna temple in Udupi, Karnataka. And he had gone, and when he went there, he was denied entry. He was a great bhakta of Lord Krishna. So he goes in the back and he starts crying. And all of a sudden, there's a trembling. And the Murti, which was facing east, turned and did an about turn and started facing west. And there was a crack in the building, and he could see the darshan, or he could have the darshan of Bhagwan just from outside. Does our prayer, our worship carry that much weight that Bhagwan is willing to change things? Devotion should have that much effect. And this is coming from a person who has written commentaries on great, great texts. Brahma Sutra, such a jnani. He is talking about bhakti. Saying that you worship Bhagwan once with this attitude, with the attitude of surrender. Bhagwan, I am nothing. You are everything, and I have come to you with that understanding. Not come to you to beg. I am not here to beg. What you give, I am happy with. What you don't give, also I am happy with. But I came here to be with you. I came here in your surrounding. Sri Ramakrishna. He was a very great devotee of Mother Kali. So, he used to offer prasadam to her as a puja. But when he used to come out of the sanctum, the plate would be empty. Now, if a pujari goes into that sanctum, says, I'm going to offer food, comes out with the plate empty, and says, Bhagwan ate it. What is our thinking? Sure, Bhagwan ate it. You considered yourself to be Bhagwan and you ate the prasad. And now you are lying and saying Bhagwan ate it. So somebody actually wanted to spy on Ramakrishna and said, I'll see what he really does. So they went inside and hid themselves. And sure enough, Ramakrishna comes in with a plate of prasad, naivedya. He offers it in front of Bhagwan, Mother, and says, Mother, I have brought food for you. Please consume. Mother does not respond. So then, he tells Mother, I know why, Mother, you wouldn't eat. You are a mother. How can you eat before your child eats? I am your child. I will eat first, then you must eat. So like that, he eats one. And as soon as he finishes, a hand comes out from the idol and starts consuming the food. And the person who is watching it is shocked. How is this possible that Bhagwan is really consuming? If our faith is there, idol is only a medium. If a Bhagwan is infinite, he can become jada as an idol, and he can become sentient also. So, to believe that it is not possible, Bhagwan makes it possible. It is his maya only, right? So therefore, one who worships Bhagwan with that faith, I am not offering it to you, Bhagwan, out of any return. I am just offering, because this is the best I can do. And I am offering the best to you. With that attitude, when you do, that is the purity of mind. And when such purity develops, moksha is second thing. It doesn't stand a chance that you would not get a moksha. But once, with this attitude, complete surrender unto Bhagwan. Kriyate tasya yamena na charcha. Yama is coming to grab a soul, correct? That is his job. He has to come, grab a soul, take him back, and then judge him based on whatever actions. When you have achieved the perfect mental purity, What is perfect mental purity? I am not a jiva. I am this Paramatma. Or a devotion that I belong to Bhagwan and I am willing to do whatever Bhagwan is wanting me to do. His instrument, being his instrument, I will work in this world. And the call comes from Bhagwan only, not my call. Otherwise, I will make a call and say, it's Bhagwan's call. No, not like that. So the idea is that I have surrendered to Bhagwan in such a way that I am his. Then when Yama comes, how will he collect the soul? He cannot collect the soul because the soul is not there. If it was through devotion, the soul went with Bhagwan. If it was through knowledge, soul is no longer to be found. Because all the panchabhuta, they merged into the five elements. The subtle body, which is made of five subtle elements, that also goes back to its subtle world. So who will Yamaraj come and collect? Cannot come and collect. Therefore, if such happens, then kriyate tasya yamena na charcha. Such a person will not have a conversation with Yama. And finally, you think about all of this. All these three, what are they? Bhagavad Gita, Jnana, gives knowledge. Drinking Ganga Jal, we are remembered of Vairagya, dispassion. That I should not become so stuck with this world. Just flow, continue flowing. And in such a way that I'm not stuck with all these things. Otherwise, Ganga doesn't say, oh, I come from Gangotri, I don't belong here. No, continuously flowing. And that attitude of Vairagya just flows. So that understanding of Vairagya has to also come with Gangaji. Or from Gangaji. And finally, Bhakti. Sakridapi yena murari samarja. So when you have Jnana, Vairagya and Bhakti mixed together, which Yama will come? No Yama can come. Yama will also be rejoicing that such a person has gotten moksha. So such a person does not. And now, with the next verse, the soul is crying out for help. Is reaching out to Bhagwan and saying that without you, there can be no savior for me in this world. Like how Krishna or Arjun cried out in Bhagavad Gita. Nahi prapashyami mama panudyat yat chokam uchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasapatnam rittam rajyam suranam apichadhipatyam. If you give me the world, the enjoyment of this world, or the pleasures of the afterworld, I do not see them to dry up the sorrow which is causing me to grieve here. Other than you, I do not see anybody who can dry up this sorrow. Ultimate surrender to Bhagwan, that you are the only one, and if you are the only one, then you should come and help me out. Let us see what that prayer is like. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Punarapi janani jathare shayanam. Iha samsare bahu dustare. Krupaya pare pahi murare. Krupaya pare pahi murare.
Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Iha samsare bahudustare, krupaya pare pahi murare. Bhaj Govindam, Govindam bhaj mudamate.
Punarapi jananam. Again, a birth will happen. Punarapi maranam. And after the birth, again death. And when death happens, then what? Punarapi janani jathare shayanam. Again, I have to come and stay, sleep in mother's womb. This is the cycle that one must continue. If you don't do the things that were told previously, if you don't study Bhagavad Gita, if you don't drink Ganga Jala, if you don't worship Bhagwan properly, then this is the result. Tell one story to drive what this point really is about. This cycle of birth and death. It is a little disgusting, but it will get the point. Because after I told the story in the first class, people were a little disturbed by it. But think about it. The story is between King Janak and Ashtavakra Gita. Or not Ashtavakra Gita, but Ashtavakra Ji. So conversation was happening between Ashtavakra Ji and Janak Maharaj. And Janak Maharaj was asking about this, you know, birth cycle and life and death and all this. So in that story, Ashtavakra Ji tells, I will tell you a story. So Ashtavakra Ji is telling the story to Janaka Raja and says, O King Janak, there was one Brahmin. And this Brahmin was very devoted. Kept a big shikha and would do puja daily, nitya naimittika karma, everything would do very diligently, was a very spiritual person. And this Brahmin had one son. And he did all he could for his son. Taught him good lessons, gave him good values to take upon, and would teach him all the spiritual related things. But whenever he would tell him and teach him, he would always make sure that he would remind him not to go to this city ever. Whenever they would walk by this city, they would see a path that would lead to that city. So this Brahmin father would tell his boy, you see boy, never go on the street to the city that is there. And the boy in the beginning used to think, okay, father is saying, so I must obey my father. But this Brahmin was such that he continued repeating this idea. And when you continuously keep saying no about something, it develops this curiosity in the mind. What is it that somebody does not want me to do? I must check it out. Why I should not do? So once, this boy found a plan. Said, I'm going to go and check out this. Because my father keeps telling me, no, 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 no. What is this no about? I must know for myself. So he goes. And he reaches the entrance of the city. And he starts looking at the whole nice beauty, the garden that is around. And he's so mesmerized. Thinks to himself, wow, I have never seen a place like this. Where was all of this like? Because I don't get to see it in the town I was in. He goes inside the city and big, big buildings. And he's amazed by how the structure of the buildings and houses were. Wide streets and people wearing nice clothes. He's thinking to himself, my father, all this time he has been hiding this from me. That's why he was saying no. So I should not enjoy. That is why. And like that, he was feeling anger towards his father. And he goes inside. He's enjoying things, purchasing whatever he could, and enjoying all the festivities in the town. Seeing that a new person had come by, a maid servant of the queen goes and tells the maid. Goes and tells the queen. Now, queen was a little interesting type. She wanted many companions. She was not satisfied with one, the king. She wanted more companions. So maidservant saw this, and maidservant told this boy, hey you, boy, the queen wants to come and meet you. And she had informed the queen already by this time. He was thinking to himself, queen wants to meet me? What a blessing I have. And like that, he rushes into the queen's palace. He says, no, don't wait here. Go straight to her chamber. And he's even more struck. Wow, I never get to see a queen. Today I get to see a queen. Wow. And like that, he goes in the chamber. Normally, queen knows the timings that king comes around. Whatever timings, you know, he's around the palace and when he's around her. So she makes sure that the timing is set. So this timing was perfect for her to meet this boy. The boy went inside and all of a sudden the king pops up. Whenever we're doing something wrong, something other comes as a disturbance. So the king comes up. And now the king is there. So the maid servant comes and knocks on the door. Says, oh queen, king is here. And she's hurrying up now. She's a little surprised how this happened. Now she can't be caught with the boy, because if she's caught with the boy, both are dead. So she tells the boy, you gotta hide. I can't be seen with you. Otherwise, I lose my title as a queen. So he says, okay, what should I do? Why don't you go and hide in the bathroom? And he says, okay, fine, I'll go and hide in the bathroom. He goes, and she was in such a rush that she just pushes him inside the bathroom. And the toilet system at that time was toilets that you have, but the pipes were not that narrow. Big pipes. A human can easily fit through. So inadvertently, in a rush, she just throws him in that pipe. He's now stuck, head down, in the midst of all that fecal matter that has been in that pipe. And some has been, you know, stuck and become hard over time, not been cleaned also. And this brahmachari is stuck inside, hanging upside down. And queen, you know, she goes and talks to the king, and everything is good and everything is done. And both king and queen, they leave. This poor guy is forgotten about. And now it's a bathroom. So over a few days, people come, they do their natural things, and then they throw down water and let it go. And then at the other end of the pipe, there are people who come and clean. Make sure that no garbage is there, no filth is there. So they come and clean. Now they are not seeing any garbage come out. They know that, you know, people are throwing garbage in. Garbage is not coming out. What is happening? And then this boy from inside is yelling, "Help, help, help," in loud tone. And somebody heard it. And he is pulled by his shikha from that pipe out. And all the filth just starts flushing down all upon him, just covered with filth and that bad odor, the bad smell. And he was really relieved that, thank God, I was pulled out of this. And as soon as he was pulled out, he just rushes to the river and washes the body left and right, left and right. One time was not enough. 10 times he rubs the body. Makes it pure and complete. And then Ashtavakraji stops and says to Janak Maharaj, "O King Janak, after such an incident, do you think that this boy would have gone back again?" So King Janak says, "No, obviously not. Who would want to go back like that?" "Okay. If, say he did, do you think he would have gone to that queen's place?" "Of course not." "Do you think he would have gone to the queen's chamber if he had done?" "No, no, of course not. Who would do that?" "Let me tell you, King, he did. He went back and same thing happened. He was thrown back into that tube, in that pipe. And he was stuck for a few days. And then again he was pulled out. He went back, cleaned himself. And then again he went back. And then he was again stuck. Again came out, cleaned himself. And again went back to the queen. And again and again and again he continues to do that." King Janak says, "Oh my God. I cannot believe such a person is there. Who would want to do this continuously over and over again and be covered with filth every single time?" So then Ashtavakra says, "King Janak, that is you. You are the one, this is a story of you." "What do you mean?" "Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam." "What is this pipe? This is the pipe of mother's womb. And who is that person who is pulling you out, the nurse or the doctor who is pulling you out? And when we are stuck in there, what are we telling Bhagwan? Oh God, help me. I am such an immovable state. Cannot move my hands, cannot even blink. I am breathing to a tube, not even through my own nostrils. This is the condition of a human being. Now, if we say birth and death, seems very simple. Okay, fine, birth and death. Do you now want to be covered in the filth? Do you now want to be stuck for 9 months and being cooked in the mother's womb in the midst of vin mutra medhya? That is how Adi Shankaracharya describes Shiva Paradakshamapana Stotram. I am being cooked in the mother's womb in the midst of all this filth. And then he says, nobody is even here to hear my voice, my cry. I have committed a crime, a sin, which is why I am here in this birth. I have forgotten about you. Please forgive me. Chantavyo me aparadha, Shiva 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 Bho. But ultimately, this cycle of birth and death, continues. How to Iha samsare bahu dustare. When I come to know that this world is very hard for me to cross, with my effort, it is very hard, dustara, very difficult to cross this samsara. But you are measurement of immense compassion. Krupaya apare, apara karuna. You have a compassion that is unmeasurable. Even if I do wrong, you still have that compassion. you bestow that compassion on me. Give me this compassion, give me this grace so that I can come to realize this knowledge. Bhagavad Gita tells me that my knowledge is Aham Brahma. I am the Supreme Self. But it is very difficult for me to know with my understanding. I do sadhana also, but even then that sadhana is very difficult for me to follow and keep track. But I find very easy to surrender myself unto you. And when I surrender myself, won't you take care of me? Why would you take care of me? Krupaya apare. You are an embodiment of immense compassion. Or please, Bhagavan, take care of me. This is the plea. This is the cry of a devotee. That I am an ego. And with my ego, I cannot attain moksha. If I thought that I attained moksha with my ego, I am a foolish person. But now I have realized that this samsara is very hard to cross. But you alone can make it happen for me. This is the devotion of a devotee. One final thought. Have you seen a basket that is made out of those bamboo sticks and a very light basket? Right? If such a basket were to be kept on top of water, what would happen to that basket? It would float, correct? Because it's very light in comparison to water. Now, all of a sudden, some dirt starts sticking to it. And layer upon layer of the dirt just starts sticking on top of it. And not just on top, underneath also. All over, covering that basket fully. What would happen to that basket? It will start sinking. We are that basket, covered with all the filth. And that filth is ignorance. All that ignorance of I am this jiva. We're covered with all of this. Now, when will this basket float up again? Two ways it can float up. If I follow the Jnana Marga, then I have to make sure that I myself remove all the dirt. Do Shravana, do Manana, do Nididhyasana. And through this practice, I come to know my nature as Ananda. And in that practice, I have to remove all this dirt that I have developed over so many years. And then slowly, 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 as the dirt starts loosening up, the basket will float up. And the other way is, cry out so loudly that a person walking by sees. And as soon as the person sees and says, oh, how can I let this basket sink in? I need this basket for myself. Let me clean this and use it for myself. When we have that much strength in our devotion and we cry out to Bhagavan, he will make us an instrument in his work. All we have to do is just allow that instrumentship to happen. Remove all that ego. And we cry out for that help. This is the cry. Iha samsare bahudustare krupaya pare pahi murare. Bhagavan comes and makes us his instrument. We will float also, we will enjoy the floating also, and we will not be stuck by any more dirt ever. This is what we mean by this idea. And who are these people? These are disciples of Shankaracharya. And these disciples of Shankaracharya ji must have the thoughts of Shankaracharya ji only. A person who is talking about the highest level of Vedanta also talks about the highest level of bhakti, devotion. So with that devotion, we also pray to Bhagavan that our thinking also should be like this. That I cannot by my ego ever overcome this samsara. I need you.